الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا. وقال تعالى: فكلوا مما ذكر اسم الله عليه إن كنتم بآياته مؤمنين. وقال تعالى: ولا تأكلوا مما لم يذكر اسم الله عليه وإنه لفسق. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. وقد ورد: لا يرحم من لا يرحم من لا يرحم. Before carrying on, just a little one very important point. It will be beneficial for all of us to understand, to explain to other people also about this. And that is that at Rozae Mubarak, when we read Salatu Salam, we face the Roza. But for Dua, they also, the guards all, they emphasize and insist that you must face the Qibla and make Dua, and your back is towards Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, towards the Roza. And so when we're making Dua, we should face the Qibla. But that is such a place that if our Aqidah is correct, we're not making Dua and asking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are asking Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Then there is no harm whatsoever that we even face the Roza. But they won't allow it. The guards won't allow it. They will make sure that you face the Qibla. So one Sudani man was making a Dua, lifting his hands and facing the Rozae Mubarak. So the guard came, told him, a Sheikh, you must face the Qibla. So he persisted, he carried on few times. Then he told him, I have to take you to my superior. So he took him to his superior, and in the office there, so the Sudani man, then he faced his back towards that man, and he faced Qibla. So that man got very offended. You're putting your back towards me. So he said, who is more superior, you or Allah's Rasul? Allah. There you want me to face my back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And yeah, you get offended when I put my back towards you. And somebody else added a very beautiful point also, that right in Haram of Medina Sharif, Haram of Makkah, and throughout the world, every masjid, Juma, Namaz, Khutbah, the Imam is making khutbah, and one integral part of khutbah is dua. And when they are making dua, the imam in Juma, in Masjid al-Nabawi, in Haram Sharif, their back is towards Qibla, and they are facing the congregation. So there, if you can face your back can be towards the Qibla, and you are making dua, then according to their logic, the imam should turn around on Juma and face the Qibla when he's making dua. And he should put his back towards the congregation. So Allah give us true love also, through adab also, and understand everything correctly and do everything properly. The ayat that I've recited with reference to our Qurbani, which we are going to make, and one particular very important part of Qurbani, Zabha, to slaughter. In fact, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam says, وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُ الذِّبْحَ. When you slaughter, then slaughter in a beautiful way. So Islam has taught us everything. And this is one of the reasons why we are explaining this, that many of us got the misconception about the Islamic way of slaughtering. Unfortunately, we are flooded in our brains with the Western way of life, what they say, and we accept that as the norm. And whereas, as a Muslim, we should know 100% that the Sunnat way, Islam's way, there is nothing that can come near it. Nothing to match it is out of the question. Nothing can even come near it. There is the most superior way. Of all the religions from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah revealed His ahkamat, His rules. But when Islam came, the most beautiful, Allah abrogated all of that. and gave the most beautiful way. The Islamic way of slaughtering is the most beautiful. We'll find many people that they can't see the slaughtering. They feel it is cruel, especially when the animal starts kicking its legs, etc. We feel the animal is suffering a lot. One of our granddaughters, whenever we used to slaughter, then she should run away from there. She couldn't take it because it's our misconception. We haven't got the proper idea of what the slaughtering is. So just a little explanation so that we can also understand, we can see the beauty of Islam, not only in the slaughtering of animals, but in everything. And Allah put it in our hearts to understand that Islam is the most beautiful way. Also, in the Quran Sharif, at the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, Bismillah, Allah explains a very, very beautiful, enjoyable academic discussion of ayat-e muhkamat. Clear, clear ayat which Allah has revealed, which there is no ambiguity, clear what it is. Ummul Kitab, Asasul Quran, Asasul Deen, those things which are very clear. And compared to, opposite to that, Mutashabihat, where the meanings are not clear of those ayat, or they've got double meanings, which meaning must you take, etc. So with regard to that. So that Allah Ta'ala has revealed it in the same context where Allah is giving the answers for the Christians who came to debate with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about Christianity, that Christianity is the right religion. So there also we see that whether it's Christianity, and in fact, if you interrogate any Christian also, a firm, true Christian who loves his deen, who is a die-hard of his deen, you ask him about Christianity, he will say that we worship Isa al-Islam as God, or that is the Son of God, or is part of Trinity, and the Quran has made it clear there is nothing like that in any religion. So that is also muhkamat, that only Allah ilaha illallah. In all religions, there is no two views in that. It's clear that Allah laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing that is like Allah Ta'ala. No Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, nothing, nobody. Allah is as He is. But though they regard themselves as devout Christians, they're doing the complete opposite. And they regard Isa alayhi salam as God, or they regard Him as the Son of God, or they regard Him as part of Trinity, etc. So those are muhkamat, clear cut. But people have found, even in that, they are taking out, actually, where a person should go astray, if he had to go astray, is with the mutashabihat, where the ayat, the meaning is not so clear, there is ambiguity. In muhkamat, asas-e Quran, nobody should have gone astray. But unfortunately, as Allah explains here, the Christians went astray. And Allah has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, so that we as Muslims, we don't go astray. That our deen is also, for example, namaz. The whole ummah, non-Muslims know that Muslims pray 5 times a day. And that is in their religion. It's a big, big part of their deen, of their religion, to pray 5 times a day. Now, if somebody goes and look in the dictionary, salat, what does it mean? Dua. So he says you must sit 2-3 minutes, you make dua, you meditate. So he has changed the whole meaning then. What is a clear meaning, and he changes the meaning. And saum, it means to restrict yourself. But everyone knows Muslims fast 30 days a year. Ramzan day fast, 29, 30 days. Everyone knows that's a command. Small, small children know. People who don't keep roza, they know. Non-Muslims know. Now a person takes the meaning that it is that you must just, it is just a restriction. And you take out the wrong meaning of it. So that is where there is zayg in the heart, crookedness in the heart. And Allah reward our ulama, mufassirin, how beautiful they have explained. For a person really, before he starts the alim course also, he must first remove all the zayg, the crookedness of his heart. Otherwise, the more knowledge he's going to acquire, the more he's going to take out crooked things from deen. And he will think he's doing the right thing. And yeah, Allah referred it to it as Zayr. وَالَّذِينَ وَالَّفِي قُلُومِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. Who got Zayr in the heart, crookedness. And many, many ayats Allah referred to the same thing. وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُومِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. Those people who got a sickness. Ulama have explained this. That is, in their hearts they've got the love of some kufr. Whether it's music, whether it's photography, whether it is interest, then they legalize interest also just using other names, etc. So those people who got that, they will find with their crookedness, in a crooked manner, they will make the ayat of the Quran Sharif crooked and prove the crooked things to be right, which can never happen. So Allah Ta'ala, that to remove, this is a great effort. And it only comes by the company of the Saliheen, the Siddiqeen, the true lovers of Allah, who have got that love of Allah in their heart. Then that zayr and good maraz of ours can be removed. And the other is, if we do our dhikr, and Hazrat Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, what Qutbul Aqtab, what the position of Hazrat Shaykh, he said, zikr, that zikr will benefit you, which you have learned from your Shaykh, and how your Shaykh told you to make zikr, which he learned from his Shaykh, that zikr is going to benefit you. And your own way of making zikr, and your own thinking, that won't benefit, won't take out that crookedness from that. It must be that zikr, how your Shaykh has taught you. And everything else to benefit even from the Saliheen is when we hand ourselves over to them. If we still reserve ourselves and we keep our ideas and thoughts, then we won't get that benefit. The same way, particularly in this cause, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, with regard to the slaughtering, there are various ways of slaughtering or killing animals which are common in the world till today. For example, there are those people who, when they want to slaughter a chicken, till today also, in the primitive places, villages, etc., they just take a chopper and chop the head off. It's a cruel way. And then there are other people, Maulana Mazhar Sahib, our Shaykh's son, Ahmed Barakat, who explained to us, the Sikhs, how they eat swine, pig. That is haram. Allah has made it haram, but it's a creation of Allah. You can't make zulm even on a pig. It's a creation of Allah. How do they kill it? When they want to eat it, they take a poker, an iron rod, and they make it red hot in fire. And then they push it from its backside through the body. How lot of zulm on the animal. It's haram. We don't eat a swine, but to take the life like that, how lot of zulm. And one of the most common zulm in the world, as Judge Akbar Allahabadi Rahmatullah Ali said, that all the jahalat of the past is today also. Only it is put in a very beautiful casing. It is made look very beautiful. And the worst type of also taking life is stunning the animal. The stunning of the animal is actually making the animal brain dead. Now that animal, its brain, it's like somebody has given a beautiful example, hopefully by which we can understand. Somebody takes a brick, half a brick, a big rock stone, and it smashes your head with it. What pain you will go through. And when a person is in concussion, and his head is not working, that person is suffering terrible pain all the time. That is what is being done to the animals. And it comes, Malla yarham la yurham. A person who doesn't show mercy, mercy will not be shown to him. Islam is taught, and particularly now, Qurbani time, alhamdulillah, that is the time that still we slaughter ourselves, we see slaughtering taking place, though Allah forgive us and guide us, we spoil that also with all the videoing, the photography, man, woman mixing there, etc. That should not do it. The ibadat, a great ibadat. Sunnat of Abikum Ibrahim. A sunnat from Adam alayhi salam, highlighted and magnified by Ibrahim alayhi salam. and the seal of it put by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we go and spoil that big, big ibadat. The main ibadat during the days of Qurbani, Allah loves no other act more than the slaughtering of the animals, the Qurbani. And then we go and spoil it by man, woman are mixing up, mixing there. We are videoing the whole thing, taking photos of it. We completely destroy the whole, what was Qurbani to sacrifice. We can't sacrifice our nafs and our desires. And just to be mixing with women, etc., all the family women or the fetus, etc. So anyway, so that studying the animal suffers the most. And the least suffering of an animal, it is also just outwardly it looks different to us. But the reality is by the Islamic way of slaughtering. The animal suffers the least pain. There was a report released by the University of Bonn in Germany some years ago. We had the occasion of visiting that town, Bonn, in Germany, and we were going to speak on it because it was from there. So those people said, let us tell you about it. We live here and we know everything more. The report, what they explained was exactly what was in the report which came from the university when they did the research. What was the research about? Not all the other details, which are plenty things. Theirs was only to determine how much pain does the animal suffer from the different ways of killing the animal. One is the Islamic way, which there are not other people also. Slaughtering is a common practice in the world. How much of pain does the animal get in that? And the other is stunning the animal. And how much pain does the animal get in that? They found that very, very minimal pain the animal suffers when it is being slaughtered. And the explanation of that is, which is not in their report, but the explanation of that is the nerves which carry pain. There are a lot of nerves. Vast majority of the nerves are all from the brain. And they go through the back here, the vertebrae. And in the spine, they flow there. Therefore, the spine is very, very delicate. And there are other nerves also in the body which carry many, many messages all the time. Unimaginable how messages are carried to the brain. Our mind cannot work at all. Like, for example, now I am talking. It's the tongue that is moving. And it's not the voice is not coming from the tongue. The voice is the breath that is coming from the throat. It's coming out. The tongue maneuvers, and therefore in qiraat, students study that you must move your tongue this way, that way, lift it up to the palate, etc., drop it down to make the pronunciation perfect of the various alphabets. And, for example, when we studied linguistics, just the letter P, the P, and we use a P so much in many words, to explain the pronunciation of P, after knowing all the technical terms, it takes 2 A4 papers to explain how the P is pronounced. And a 2-year-old child, how much is blabbering? He didn't go to and study anywhere in a university. He didn't study linguistics. He didn't study how the P must be pronounced. And he's talking all the time. It is all from Allah, how Allah Ta'ala has granted this. So anyway, so the sound that is coming out is the sound that is the wind that is coming out. And now that wind, now as I'm talking now, and what I want to say, how fast is the brain working? You can't measure it, how fast the brain is working. You people are all listening. All this word that is coming from one mouth. And then all of us who are sitting, it's falling on our ears. And then the ears have transferred it, and that also a fantastic system. How just that sound, it's not the ears that hear also. According to us, we tell you, you haven't got ears, you're not listening. Open your ears and listen. The ears don't listen. Well, the ear is one little, how can the ear listen in any case? That sound that goes, and through the fantastic system which Allah has kept, that it is sent to the brain. The brain then deciphers and says, what's the meaning? Now, as I'm talking, all of us are listening, how much our brain is taking out the meaning. And many of us are such, we are taking the right meaning. There are some who take out the wrong meaning also. There are some of us also that one thing is being said and they add beautiful other meanings to it. Their mind goes to another point. They add it together, like for example, food that we cook. One is you just boil the meat and you eat it. No taste. You add salt. How much better now? You add all the other masalas now. You add some exotic masalas. How delicious that becomes now. So the things that you heard, you read with your eyes. The eyes don't see. All that gets transferred to the brain. The brain is working out everything. And from there you remember another point. Allahu Akbar. Like our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali had explained. That Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna tibaa. Oh Allah, show us the truth as truth. Warzuqna, not wawafiqna. The word in the hadith is not give us tawfiq of following, but give us the rosy of following. So Hazrat joined it with another hadith that a person won't die until his rosy is not complete. So now you take out the meaning, now you have added more masalas, exotic masalas now. Now, O Allah, let me hear the truth, see the truth. Allahumma arina al-haqqa, haqqa. And then give me I must not die until I follow all the truth. Then only a person won't die until his last grain of rice he doesn't eat. Last drop of water he doesn't drink. Till like that, a person won't die then until he gets all the truth in him. Allah blesses him with that. And really, that also is ajeeb. In this ayat of the beginning ayats of Surah Ali Imran, one dua is there, إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمِ اللَّا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Oh Allah, you are going to collect all the people from Adam a.s. till Qiyamah's day. On that day, there is no doubt. Jamaat brothers explain to get one Jamaat ready. When you have to send them out, it's so difficult. You get this brother ready, then the other three who were there, two of them are gone again. They got some excuse. You get them ready, the other two. You say it's more difficult than weighing. That water? Frogs. More weighing, more difficult than weighing frogs in a pen. If you have to weigh three, four, you put one, two, the other jump out. You put this one, the other one, you just can't get down to weighing them. And you have to weigh them. That is more difficult. Now to gather all the people of the world. Yeah, in the madrasa, for example, we know just one class out of the about perhaps 40, 50 classes there are. One class, 20 students must get all ready, all must be there. Very difficult. This one is gone. When you get the others, another one went out. You just can't get them together. Now Allah is going together all the people. What a kamal. So the ulama explained, oh Allah, you are that being. That you will gather all the people. What is it difficult for you that you give me the wisdom of all your knowledge in my heart? When you can do such a thing, and not only the wisdom, the reason for it also, the understanding of it also, what is it difficult for you? And when you present your case like this to Allah, Allah accepts readily. Whenever a person like this, he presents to Allah, like Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi's mother, she made dua to Allah, Ya Allah, you have given the fly's eyes, you have given human's eyes, you have given the fish eye. If you give my son his eyesight, what will it diminish in your treasure? On that Allah Ta'ala was moved, and Allah gave him his eyesight. So Allah Ta'ala's could. Anyway, we have time is already almost over, and we hardly started with the subject. So when they measured there, or when an animal is slaughtered according to Islamic way in the universe, they put electrodes on the brain and they measured the amount of pain. They found the least pain is when it is slaughtered the Islamic way. And that is not difficult for us to understand. All of us must have taken injections till today. We had blood tests, blood was taken out. When do we feel the pain? Just when the needle just is inserted into the skin. That's all. After the needle is still in and they are pulling out blood. Or they are administering the medicine which they are giving. But now you don't feel pain. The pain is only when the needle pierces. The nerve that carries pain in the body is just under the skin. Haji Sahib, Allah reward him, he brought a very beautiful point also. He says in Jahannam, what's the ayat? The skins will be changed always. كُلَّمَا نَضِجُوا بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. The skins will be changed all the time in Jahannam so that they can feel the pain. So there also, the pain will be to do with the skin. That when that needle just pierces the skin, then you feel the pain. After that, so when we slaughter, the animal only feels a slight pain, very slight. It hardly registered on the electrodes. And now we, with our eyes, we see the animal is suffering. If it's a fowl kicking its legs, its wings, it's fluttering them, a goat, a sheep, it's also kicking the legs all the time. To us, it looks like it's suffering, but it's not. What is happening? That now when you slaughter, and that's why the ideal place and the proper zabiha is to slaughter at the throat. And we have to slaughter, let us remember the masala also, there are four vessels that we have to slaughter. One is the food pipe, and that is right in front, that is very easily slaughtered. The other is the wind pipe. And then the two veins on the side which carry the blood. Three of the four must be severed, must be cut, then the animal becomes halal. If you only cut two of those four vessels, then the animal won't be halal. The best is, of course, all four must be cut. And it is makruh to cut the whole neck off. That won't happen with an ox or a cow or a sheep. But with a fowl, it easily happens. Small chicken, and maybe many times we slaughter baby chickens. And your hand is heavy. So easily the whole neck gets cut off. That is makruh. Because, what's the reason there? That the veins that carry all the messages from the brain are running here at the back. So if you want to cut the whole head off, those messages can't get through. Now when you have slaughtered, the blood starts gushing out. When an animal is not stunned and it is slaughtered, the blood gushes out. Allah reward the Mufassireen, how they have explained also the object of slaughtering is to make it halal. To make it halal, we must slaughter. And how must we slaughter? Yeah, the throat. And the object of slaughtering is that we drain out the last drop of blood from the body. Blood is napak, najis. Blood is filthy. And it must not be in the body of that animal you're going to eat. So the only way is when you slaughter at the throat, that blood all rushes out. Now when the blood has come out, now the blood was going all the time from here up to the brain. Now the brain is not getting blood. So the brain, through the nerves which are running at the back, sends a message to all the parts of the body, I'm the brain and I need blood, I need oxygen, and I'm not getting it. So the whole body is very muti, obedient to the brain. And they start working very hard to send blood. The last drop of blood they have in them. That is why the animals are kicking their legs. Is to get all the blood out and send it. Our brain, our head needs oxygen, needs blood. So they all start sending it. The bird, the chicken are fluttering their wings. To send that blood. It's not the pain they are suffering. It is in obedience and in service of the brain, they are sending all the blood. All that blood comes here at the throat and it goes out. So that animal which is slaughtered like that without stunning, that blood is almost 100% out of that body. And that animal which hasn't got any blood in it is the most healthiest animal to eat and the most delicious meat. When the blood is out, blood spoils the taste of that animal also. It's a different thing. We are so spoiled. And we, with our masalas, etc., we getting our... But the meat itself, when the blood is still inside, is the most unhealthiest and the most untastiest also. So it's all that blood is gone out. So that is our zabiha. On the other hand, when the animal is stunned, whether they use a gun, an electric shock they put in the head, or they run it through electrified water, or whichever way they stun the animal, its brain dead. The brains don't work, so the brains don't send any message to the body. And now all the blood, a stunt animal that is slaughtered, about 1% of the blood comes out when you slaughter. Just a trickle of the blood. And all the rest of the blood is in the body. It goes in the muscles, it goes in the meat, it goes in the bone. And when we eat, all that blood is part of what we are consuming. It is the most untastiest, most unhealthiest. So the Islamic way of slaughtering is the perfect way. So Allah give us tawfiq that we understand this and we explain it to our children, to everyone. Because when we slaughter, outwardly it looks an animal is stunned, so it seems it's got no brain. It is just, it's got no brains. That animal, because you stunned it, now its brain is not working. Like a person who's got life in him, he will fight for his life. But you have a person, you throw a brick on his head and he's in concussion. He can't fight for himself. He got nothing to defend himself. His brains are dead. So, and also, dead brains. What are you going to get in there? That animal that has got life and you overpowered it, that animal is going to give you goodness. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand. There is much more to it also, but our time is also finished. So with our qurbani, and Allah make it also that we don't only see any, and to see the animals being slaughtered is a very important part, so much so that women should slaughter themselves if parda proper arrangements can be made and they've got the heart to slaughter, they should slaughter. Otherwise, at least they should be present to see. There is great wisdom in there, to build a spirit of jihad in a mu'min. And there are many people, non-Muslims also, they just can't see blood. Many people, they just see blood and they faint. A mu'min is not supposed to be like that. For the deen of Allah, to take blood also, when you have to take blood, you should take the blood. In jihad, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made jihad also. There is also a complete misconception that who is a buzurg? A buzurg is he who doesn't upset anyone. He keeps everyone happy. He is the furthest from being a buzurg. If that was buzurgi, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, na'uzu billah, we can't declare him as a buzurg. How he upset the kuffar, the Quraysh, the idol worshippers. How he went totally, so much he came loudly in the haram and raised, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. He did not consider their feelings in the least, but when Fatima Makhzumiya had stolen and her hand was supposed to be cut, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made sure her hand, and he said, even if Fatima bint Muhammad has to steal, I will cut her hand. So for Allah's sake, to take blood, من أحب لله ومن أبغض لله من أعطى لله ومن منع لله. The thing is, everything must be لله. Then even you break unity, لله is most persuasive. And you keep the unity against Allah's command is the worst thing you can do. So Allah give us tawfiq to take the great lessons of qurbani, and inshallah we will try and discuss. We are about 25 days away from Hajj, more or less, from Qurbani days. So the spiritual aspect of Hajj or Qurbani also, and the historical aspect, and what great lessons there are in Qurbani. Allah bless us with that. Open our hearts to fatibu biha nafsa. Open your hearts and make your Qurbani. Spend your money. Get yourself involved in the Qurbani. Don't keep away from it. Don't keep your money back. Don't keep yourselves back. Don't just send your qurbani away somewhere and you are in your spick and span white clothes. Ashaddu bayad, very white clothes you are wearing, and you don't take part in the qurbani at all. That's not the spirit at all. Yeah, you must be involved in the qurbani as much as we can. And Allah bless us with the reality and the great lesson. Ibrahim alayhi salam's qurbani, where it started and where it reached. What qurbani he made. And that is our sunnah to abikum Ibrahim. That is the sunnah of your forefather Ibrahim. Allah bless us with the realities of deen. Let us realize we've got the most perfect deen which Allah has blessed us with, and that we embrace it open heartedly and we give our whole selves to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq inshallah.